Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. We love talking to Tommy Hottovy, the Cubs pitching coach, and he joins us now on the score hotline. Good morning, Tommy. Quick turnaround, late game, early today. God bless you. You're always right on time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. That's what we do. We gotta get ready for the next day, put the next one behind us, the last one behind us, and get rolling.
Tough stretch after the All-Star break. I'm curious, just because the Cubs have struggled to the point that they have, Tommy, and I think it's 7 runs in 5 games since the break. How do you keep your pitchers from not letting the lack of offensive support get inside their heads? I know it's something that pitchers have to deal with all the time, but do you actively try to keep guys from thinking about how do you approach it? Because it has been the offensive issues persist.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we discuss it, we talk about it. I'm always into the approach that I always want to point out the elephant in the room and not try to avoid those conversations, because, you know, guys, you know, we're all human beings and feel different things and stuff. And so we talk a lot more about just the game situation when you're coming in, you know, evaluating where you are, what the game state is and what we're trying to accomplish. Because, you know, it could be 7-6 and it's a 1-run game in the 7th inning when a reliever's coming in, or it can be 1-0. You know, both of them are 1-run games. Both of them are very different to how you got to that point. But again, the evaluating the situation for what it is, and that helps you really refocus on what you need to do when you're out there and doing your job. And it's easy to say, like, hey, just do our job and everything will be fine. Well, things will take care of themselves. But it's more about, for me, the game situation when you're coming in, being able to evaluate. And for these young, especially these young relievers that are experiencing some higher leverage moments, you know, more often than you would expect them to have early in their careers, it's a valuable lesson for them to be able to come in a lot of tight 1-run games and continue to learn how they need to attack at those moments to be successful.
I was saying to David earlier in the week how wonderful the bullpen has become, how hard you guys must have been working to kind of get that straightened out. The bullpen had been an issue. You know, we know what the blown saves are, all that stuff, but it feels like even as you're losing guys, you've solidified something in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think the bullpen's always an interesting dynamic when you head into a season. And you always compile a group in a bullpen that you feel like is going to be able to compete and have success. And it's also probably the most fluid part of a team in the fact that, you know, I've said this for a long time, like, reliever success from year to year is very, you know, it's very difficult to predict, because you're going to have injuries. You're going to have guys that go on 2 or 3 month runs, you know, and then and struggle. And it's also the one part of the team that you feel like you don't really get to make as many quick adjustments, because guys still need to be available to pitch every day. Whereas if a starter is struggling with something mechanically, he's going to have bullpens between games to be able to work on things. So it just takes time. You know, it takes time, and it takes a lot of work from the players and obviously the coaching staff and the people to evaluate, like, what you're seeing, what you need to work on, and the credit to those guys for being able to handle it, to work on it. And when guys go down, you have young guys stepping up and really, you know, coming in their own to pitch. And you know, you lose a guy and the next guy just steps up. So, yeah, it's been fun to see that part of our group really start to come into their own, solidify what they want to do, what makes them successful, and just continue to go out there and do it every night.
Tommy, last night, Jameson Taillon was tremendous. 7 1/3, gave up an earned run, and certainly put the Cubs in a position to win that game. He has been very good this year, consistent and solid. And post-game, he's a very thoughtful professional athlete. He sounded reflective and almost wistful in talking about his time as a Cub. We hear the rumors. We talk about the speculation. I just wondered, was that part of his – how much of his thought process was about, you know, blocking out the trade rumors and just focusing on what he needed to do? And do you think that was something that was a factor last night?
Yeah, I think – with Jameson. He's no stranger to being around teams that have talked about trades and the future and what they're trying to do. And I think that's probably one of the most impressive things about what Jameson was able to do last night, was to block out a lot of noise. He's a human being. He, you know, reads what is being said and what's been talked about. And obviously if he has his say, you know, he loves being here and wants to be a Cub for a long time. And, but you know, I think to be able to take all that and then still go do your job, which is just to go out, compete, give your team a chance to win a ball game. Like, he did a fantastic job last night. That's more of a testament to the person, to the work ethic, to like who Jameson is versus even his stuff in general. And, it was fun to see. And again, he's going to come into work today and prep for his next start and be ready to go. And, we'll worry about the other stuff when and if it happens. But I think for Jameson right now, like, he's feeling great. He's in a great place, as you guys can see, and we just need to keep rolling with that.
I'm curious, Tommy, when you are dealing with changes at the catcher position, as you are, does that impact the number of walks? There have been some higher number of walks of recent vintage. I'm just curious, how does the changing of catchers, or how does the catcher influence that within the game?
Yeah, I don't necessarily attribute like the change in catcher to increase walks, unless you're seeing those catchers that maybe just don't know the pitcher's strengths and are starting to ask the pitcher to do things that they're not, you know, either not accustomed to doing or not, you know, it's not what we would consider their strengths. And I don't believe, you know, like that's been the case. I think the hardest thing is just onboarding, you know, like for Tomas, onboarding a guy in the middle of the season with the guys he's never caught. You know, you're trying to expedite that process, because when you acquire a guy, you're doing it for a reason. You want him to get some playing time. So, you know, there's a lot of like, you know, quick conversations, a lot of prep work on the front end, and then a lot of reminders through the game. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, hey, I'm going to throw stuff at you. It's not because I don't think you know. It's because I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. When guys come in, I'll be like, hey, remember when this pitcher comes in, the lefties, it's fastballs up, back foot sliders, and, you know, changes down. We're like, just quick, simple, like, hitters to kind of help these guys. And they've been fantastic, you know, and, mm-hmm. and Miggy's been great, you know, this whole time. And he's been great, like, helping Tomas when he comes in to kind of get to know guys with quick information as well. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's more difficult on the player to really be able to understand how to navigate that. But in the end, we just encourage our guys to trust what they do and trust their strengths. And it's our job to get the catchers on board with that.
Good to see Julian Merriweather back in a close game in a high leverage situation. Wonder what you thought about his performance and how he fits in moving forward in terms of his role.
Yeah, obviously excited to get Julian back. Didn't quite want to have his first outing back, you know, with us in a tie ball game with the winning run on third base and less than two outs. I mean, that's a high leverage situation to be coming into, but it also tells you how much we trust him. And I think a lot of us have seen him pitch some really big moments for us over the last year now. And I thought he did great. I mean, he punched out the first guy face and then got to 1-2 on the second one and just let the slider in the zone. And, you know, he's got the stuff to come in those moments and get punch outs and be able to keep teams off the board. And he's going to continue to have those opportunities with us. The big thing for me with Julian is making sure that he recovers well today after last night. He felt great after the game. But yeah, really excited to have him back. And again, just continue to lengthen out the bullpen.
Yeah. You got a lot of guys on the way, right? I mean, I don't know who's going to be there faster, but I'm just looking at all the rehab guys and there are a lot of pitchers that are kind of on the way. Do you have to keep that in mind at all, Tommy, in terms of, you know, as you're balancing who's pitching here, there, if somebody's coming back, well, we'll have him come Friday, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you definitely. It's definitely something I keep in mind because I'm helping navigate all the schedules for all these guys. And it, you know, you feel like I've been a rehab coordinator for the majority of the year with as many guys as you talk about every day. And yeah, it's just a big puzzle. You know, it's a big puzzle. You're navigating what the player needs and from a rehab perspective and a development perspective versus what the team needs, you know, at a given time and in the time period. So it's all intermingled. And but more importantly, like, you never want to rush a player just because the team needs something right away. I think you've seen that backfire. You've seen that not quite work the way you expect it. So number one, we try to keep the player's schedule and his path, you know, in mind on what we're trying to accomplish and get him back. And then obviously we can navigate and put those pieces together, that puzzle together once those guys do, once we evaluate and feel like they're ready to go for what their expected workload would be in the big league. So definitely excited to be getting these guys back. Also very cognizant of the work they're putting in, making sure that they're, like I said, 100% ready when they do step foot in our clubhouse, they're ready to go.
Javier Assad uncharacteristically struggled with control the other day. 6 walks and 3 1/3, Tommy. Did not look comfortable necessarily, did not maybe have his stuff. What was the cause of that, and how do you fix it?
Yeah, I think for Javi, he is such a consistent worker. He's actually probably one of our, I would say, our heaviest throwers throughout the course of a week. So when Javi's in the normal, you know, start workload, you know, he throws quite a bit. It's just the way he's always been. You have guys that like Justin Steele that throws very little, and there's days you have to push him to like make sure he keeps his volume up and his throwing up. And then Javi, a lot of times you're like, hey, let's back off a little bit of the workload right now. And anytime you have a break, anytime you have an extended absence, which he had, you know, when he went on the IL, and then obviously with the All-Star break, those are always things I think I keep in mind. And you know, I feel like getting Javi now on a normal routine, a 5-day start, being able to get him some work off the mound consistently is just going to help him that much more. You know, he was on a fantastic run, you know, before he had the little forearm issue pop up. And, you know, then we took a break and he didn't get a throw for about 5 or 6 days. And then you were ramping him back up and shorter bursts. So, you know, I have 100% faith in Javi being able to come back and execute his pitches in the strike zone. He's always been a strike thrower. He's been a guy that can, you know, move the ball around and throw strikes with multiple pitches. I feel like there was definitely some fatigue that set in pretty quickly after that long third inning the other day, and just wasn't able to recover from that. So, but like I said, you know, expecting Javi to continue to build, continue to work, and be back out being the guy that we were accustomed to seeing.
When we talk about the trade deadline, David asked you about J-Mo and his kind of awareness of everything that's going on around him. How difficult is that for players? Do you remember when you were playing, was there always that feeling that something big could happen?
Well, for most people, yeah, I wasn't a good enough player, really, for teams to want to trade for me. But, you know, that's I'd say for most people, they're actually really good pitchers. You know, it always kind of hangs out there. But, you know, you can think about last year for us. Like, we were in the same position. There was a lot of talk about what's going to happen. It's going to be this, it's going to be that. And in the end, it was, you know, Jose Quas and Jamer Candelario, and you know, and I think you just cannot worry about the things you can't control. It's such a great life lesson for all of us to go through a process like this. And it's the same thing we preach for guys when they come in the games, like control what you can control. It's no different from what we're going through right now in the environment. It's definitely a tense environment right now, and the fact that there is a lot of uncertainty. But again, the more you can stay focused on, again, what you can control, what you can do, your thoughts, your process, then, you know, that's where we're at right now.
Tommy, curious, because I was a little surprised Jorge Lopez was in the game last night, and it was pretty close and obviously came through. When he comes to a new team, given what he went through with the Mets. I just wonder how those conversations go, because you are somebody who doesn't necessarily ignore the elephant in the room. And I think that was probably something that you guys would have to address with him, his past, what to expect, his temperament. How did you handle that?
Yeah, I think number one, anytime a guy, you're getting a guy with a situation like that, you try to gather as much information as you possibly can. Background information on a player that you're getting, any former teammate, former coaches, you're trying to gather as much information as you possibly can. Luckily for us, like, we have Darren Holmes, our bullpen coach, who had and was with Jorge in Baltimore for the last 3 years. Tomas Nito caught him and played with him this year in New York. So we had a lot of people, contacted a lot of people that have been around him, been with him. And then second thing is, like, get to know the player and give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, don't have these preconceived notions of who you think this person is or how you think they're going to handle certain situations just because they had one mishap. You know, give them the benefit of the doubt, make them, prove you wrong, and get to know them a little bit. And then once that happens and you see the work ethic the guy has, and you talk to him about what he's up to and what he's working on, and you get to know about him and his family and all those things, like, then you just kind of, just right back in the flow of everything. And you're trusting that, this guy's pitched in some very high leverage situations, in his career, and had a tough stretch, as we all do. And he's getting back to the version of himself that he believes he could be. He handled some adversity last night, tough ground ball back to him and a walk, and was able to pitch out that situation in a 1-0 game. So, yeah, it was really, really good to see.
Tommy, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you, as always, and good luck today.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
That's Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach. Very interesting, huh?
Good stuff. Yeah. A lot of different things that he said about Verrett. His job has been very active and busy and diverse.
But they're...
scheduling rehabs.
Their pitching has been excellent. And this is always the problem when you're talking about the trade deadline and teams that where half the team's doing well and half the team
it's
isn't.
It's a tough reality.
You can't trade the guys that aren't doing well.
No.
So you wind up with these decisions to make on people that are actually helping you.
Bullpen was disappointing early. They've been pretty good of late. And when you score 7 runs in 5 games, you're not going to win a lot.
Oh, boy. Okay. Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767 at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Hey, it's Dan Bernstein,
and I'm Lawrence Holmes. You can check me and Dan Bernstein out every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. until 2.
Layla Rahimi is in for this Wednesday. Mike Florio at 11, high noon, 11:40. Russ Dorsey on Cubs Sox and MLB at noon, leading you up to Cubs Brewers Game 3.
Dan Bernstein and Lawrence Holmes, 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment sponsored by Deep River Water Park.
Deep River Water Park is now open for another splash-tastic season of outdoor family fun. The wave pool, water slides, tube slides, two river rides, the dragon, and much more are all waiting for you. We're 4.5 miles east of I-65 on US 30 in Northwest Indiana. See you there. We're